30 distressed municipalities have turned to the state for help finding financial stability through a program known as Act 47. The latest is Monoy City, a 4,000-person borough in Pennsylvania's coal region. After years of borrowing money and scaling back services, officials finally sought help when they risked defaulting on loans taken just to prevent a local government shutdown. Keystone Crossroads' Emily Previty reports.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Every week, Emily Seeger helps feed hungry residents in Monoy City. Tonight, she's hoping the food won't run out.
Last year, we were up in the hundreds, like a hundred and some, like in the midsummer.
Seeger's working alongside her father, George Klein. He moved here in 1965, well past the borough's heyday, but when homes were still in demand.
Now you can get them a dime a dozen. You can buy three or four in every block.
As a matter of fact, about a quarter of Monoy City's housing stock is vacant. Borough manager Dan Lynch says it wasn't always like this.
At one point in the history of this town, there was 116 bars. There was one for every 98 people. So they called it, you know, like the drinking capital of the world. But like way back then, you know, people working in the mines, a lot of them didn't have a home, and they might have rented a bed, and they'd spend a shift in the bed, a shift in the bar, and a shift in the mine.
The population peaked in the 1920s at 15,000 people. Now it's 4,000.
My brother-in-law used to come up. He lives in Philadelphia, and he'd sleep till 1:30 in the afternoon, and he'd be like, it's like a sensory deprivation chamber. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what time it is. I don't know it's time to get up.
Lynch seems to like that Monoy City's quiet, but the calm is a symptom of what's happened in many former coal towns. Population drops, and then the tax base, with no change in the size of the area that needs policing, fire protection, and infrastructure maintenance. The local government's still responsible for that, and with such a stretched budget, the high vacancy rate creates a challenge when it comes to cleaning up blight. Lynch says it's the borough's biggest problem.
You know, we weren't designed to be the shepherds of private property. You know, private property owners, when they fail or there's just no one left to act, then it becomes the borough's duty to act. And it's so expensive. I mean, it's tremendously expensive. It costs double what you can buy a house for in this town to rip one down.
The borough's Act 47 consultant, Jerry Cross, says the negative impact on real estate values is particularly critical because state law makes them the main source of revenue for local governments. Cross says Monoy City should consider home rule, which would give more flexibility in taxing. Plenty of distressed towns get the same advice and some take it, but there's an important distinction here. By the time most municipalities get into the state's program for distressed communities, their property tax rate is already as high as it can be under state law. But not in Monoy City, in part because the collection rate is around 70%.
That's one of the worst we've seen. That's a disaster for this. The municipality, they don't have ready cash to operate.
Even if officials could reasonably expect to collect in full, real estate values are too low to generate much money, which brings us to Cross's next recommendation, increase income taxes.
There is a healthy base of population of the working years, 18 to 64.
Keystone Crossroads analysis of census data shows that basically people are dying off faster than they're moving away from most Act 47 towns, including Monoy City. Median household and per capita incomes have grown over the past two decades, but only by 3%. Emily Seeger sees this financial hardship firsthand in her ministry. Lynch, the borough manager, says there's one concrete company nearby that pays decent wages, but it opened 15 years ago, and not many major employers have landed since.
Something where there's going to be, you know, 1,000 jobs or 1,500 jobs would be huge for this area.
Act 47 tries to stabilize local governments in financial crisis through low-interest loans and engaging consultants like Cross. But that's just to prevent municipal governments from folding, to enable them to continue the basics. Lasting economic recovery, as Lynch knows, hinges on changes beyond the borders of a small town, and certainly beyond any Act 47 plan. Emily Previty, Keystone Crossroads.